privilege tonight to have with us Brother Ron Hart. Brother Hart is here tonight in representation of a ministry that we support called the Gideon Ministry. How many are familiar with the Gideon Ministry? Okay, pretty good. We have Gideons in the room. And probably once a year or once every other year, we like to bring in one of the men and let them give us a report of how God is using this powerful ministry around the world. And Brother Ron's going to come and he's going to give us that report. And then he's going to introduce us to a video that I told you about this morning. When that video comes on, it might be a little grainy. It was done a while ago. But you'll understand the words of this video and the testimony of a man named Mr. Say. And I want this video to just bless your heart. Then when that's done, I'll come and I'll close the service. Would you please welcome Brother Ron Hart to Plantation Baptist Church?
Thank God I went to prison, is what Oscar Nieto would tell you. Pastor, it's just wonderful to be here tonight, and just people have already made me feel like I'm home, and I appreciate that. Oscar was arrested when his plane landed at Miami International flying in from Colombia. He was found to have packets of cocaine and heroin in his stomach. He was charged with possession, drug trafficking, money laundering, and sentenced to 100 years in prison. Shortly afterwards, he was at a detention center waiting to be transferred to a permanent prison. And he was there, he met a Gideon who gave him a Bible. And he began to read that Bible, and the Holy Spirit began to change his heart, and he came to know the Lord. Amen. Then just 36 months later, he was declared a burden to the state, and they offered to deport him. Back in Colombia, God put his family back together, his business back together. And if you talk to Oscar now, he'll tell you, I flew to Miami with heroin in my stomach, but I came home with Jesus in my heart. Praise God for his amazing grace and a Gideon Place Bible. Who are the Gideons International? They're Christian business and professional men, and their wives, the auxiliary. Me, I'm a manager at a rock quarry in West Miami. For over 100 years, Gideons have shared a common goal, placing scriptures in the highways and byways of life in order to win the lost to Christ. Gideons are organized in over 200 countries around the world. And we distribute scriptures in 101 different languages. Last year, nearly 85 million scriptures were distributed by Gideons. Amen. It took 22 years for the first million scriptures to be distributed. Now, a million Bibles are placed every 4.5 days by the Gideons. And last summer, we placed our 2 billionth since the Gideons started placing Bibles. Our members are members of local congregations. We're serving where we're at, and we're an extension of you. Placing scriptures in hotels and motels, as you've probably all seen in the drawers, and I encourage you, if you go to a hotel, look in that drawer, and if it's not there, ask the front desk. Hospitals and nursing homes and in schools. Our local Gideons, just last spring, I was privileged to be on a scripture distribution at Plantation High School in South Plantation and the middle school right there beside Plantation High School. I don't remember the name of it right now, but over the course of those 2 days that we were doing that, we placed over 2,000 New Testaments in students' hands. I remember that when I was at Plantation High School, one young man says, oh, I'll take it, but I worship Satan. He says, but I'll read through it. I says, good. I says, you'll really like the ending. And, you know, we tell them all that there's a GPS in the back. Because in the back of all the testaments that we give out is God's plan of salvation clearly written out for them so they can read it and understand it. And when we were over at the middle school, Plantation police pulled up where we were standing and distributing Bibles. And I says, oh, here's trouble. Always thinking negative. He rolled his window down and says, guys, keep up the great work. So I said, praise God. You know, but we have other Gideons that are going to Broward County Jail every Saturday faithfully, passing out the word and talking to the men in the prison there. There are special testaments for the military, for police, for medical, and all these scriptures being placed, claiming Isaiah 55:11, that God's word, when it goes out, will serve and accomplish its purpose and not return void. A few examples of that. A young man in Brazil was a pickpocket by trade. One day he thought he stole a fat wallet off a tourist, and he scurried back to his little house, and he got there and whipped it out, and much to his dismay, it was a New Testament. Angry, he threw it against the wall and just crawled in his bed and upset that he had missed an opportunity. But later that night, he began to think about that scripture, and the Holy Spirit began to work in his mind and his heart. He picked it up, began to read it. Now he works with Bible distributions in Rio. You know, Noom Pom was a refugee in Thailand. He received a testament. And he said, oh, this is nice. This is nice. And he says, I can use this. So what he did, he went back and, you know, if you ever notice the pages in the testaments are fairly thin. And he says, this is good rolling paper. And he began to roll the Bible pages for his tobacco. And then after 2 months, he went back when the Gideons were there again. He asked for another one. They said, wait a minute, we just gave you one. What are you doing? He said, oh, no, I've been smoking the pages. They said, no, you need to read the pages. So he went back and he promised to start reading. And as he did, again, the Spirit stirred his heart. And he's now a Gideon. Okay. And, you know, I spoke at a church in Hollywood to a Vietnamese congregation in November. And after the report and after the service, a gentleman walked up to me and he says, you know, that story rings true. He says, I got my first Bible from a Gideon when I was in a refugee camp. It's real. God is good. Had a story of Ramona. Her mother and father had a dysfunctional marriage, and then her mother died when she was young. And her father abused her. She grew up with hate and just dysfunction in her life and very angry. And she'd been married 3 or 4 times. And she turned to alcohol and drugs and partying. And one night when she was in Hawaii and she was packing up to go back home, she reached in the drawer and she saw the Bible. And she says, she just took it. She sort of said, hey, hotel, I'm taking your Bible. And stuck it in her bag, took it home. Several years later, she saw that on the shelf one night. She began to read through and began to understand what God wanted her to do. And she gave her heart to Christ. Now she's directs a nursing home. And she's able to share the word with others. But more importantly, she was able to lead her father to Christ through the forgiveness that she had in her heart for him. And he's with her in heaven. Okay. Remember Oscar? It was no accident that Oscar got that Bible. You know, Christians paid to have the scriptures published. Christians paid to have the scriptures shipped. Scriptures prayed for God's word to go out and land on fertile soil. And how can you help the Gideons International? You can pray for your local Gideons here in Hollywood and around the world. You can support the Gideons financially, which this church does generously. Gideon cards are a great way to support the ministry. and give place Bibles around the world. I didn't see a rack, but I'm sure you have a card rack. I would encourage you to take advantage of that and send cards and send Bibles at the same time. You can also be a friend of Gideon's, which is a fairly new program, but you can either be a prayer partner for the Gideons and promise to pray for us. We need all the prayer we can get. Or you can be a financial partner. And as a financial partner, has different benefits. We have these brochures. If you want one, we can take a look at one. There's also a great program for the youth. And that's the Life Book. The Life Book is provided by the Gideons, the Gospel of John. And we give these to the youth departments. But it's not for your youth. It's for your youth to take to schools and pass out amongst their classmates. So it's a great program. I would encourage, if you haven't gotten involved in that, those are provided free by the Gideons. All you have to do is just contact them. And of course, if you're a professional businessman, you can join the Gideons. We'd always use more men, more women in the auxiliary to support us, and that would be good. Now, just one other thing. I really want to thank Plantation Baptist for all that you do to help us as Gideons. And you support us monthly. And we appreciate that. And you know, the thing is that people need Jesus. And Jesus is in this book. And a joint effort between us and the Gideons, we're placing scriptures around the world. We just thank you so much for that. I want to talk about the video we're going to see here in just a minute. You know, Bill Fay, he speak for himself. You know, once you see the video, you know why I say that. It's a powerful, powerful video of a person that went to jail and then stole a Bible in jail. But you know what? That was just the beginning. It was just the beginning for Bill. And I don't want to steal any of the goodness of the video, but pay attention to it. It's a great video, and it's powerful. The message is there. And again, on behalf of the Gideons, we thank you for your support, and we encourage you to pay attention to this video because you'll learn some things about how God continues to work through His Word, and that's really the bottom line of what it's all about. Okay.
Well, amen. The clock don't work up here, but everything will be all right. I'm so excited about being here tonight. I'm so excited about being here tonight because if it weren't for you Gideons and you auxiliaries keeping them on their feet, I'd be in hell frying like bacon tonight. Amen? As Brother Cabin told you, I was in prison on a first-degree murder charge. I faced the death penalty for 2 years. I was involved with organized crime. I spent 15 years of my life in organized crime. During that time, I was shot twice, stabbed a number of times. My wife, on Mother's Day weekend of 1979, was brutally assassinated because of who I was. Laying in a hospital with an assassin's bullet through my back, not knowing if I was going to live or die, my mom and dad came in. They took me by the hand, looked me in the windows of my soul, and for the first time in my life, I heard my mom and dad say words I'd never heard them say before. When they said, "Son, I love you." Now, before you judge my parents, let me tell you, I had the best parents in the world. They were devout Christians. I did not grow up in a broken home. But they came from that old school, you know, the one that says compassion is weakness. I knew they loved me, I just never heard them say it. And I do not believe, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a greater force on this earth other than divine power than the three little words, "I love you." And if you think I'm kidding you, I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you. Husbands, make sure you turn to your wife. I want you to tell them, "I love you." Would you do that? Amen. Now, you see the joy that brings? You can't look at someone and say to them, "I love you." God never ordained those words to be spoken in anger. and Gideons and auxiliaries, I want to say to you tonight, I love you. And pastors, I want to say to you, I love you because you allow the men and women in your church to become Gideons and auxiliaries. There I was in prison. You know, Gideons are kind of weird. Now, think about what I'm going to tell you. They take their money, their time, go out and purchase Bibles, and then put them in places where they know somebody's going to steal them, and go home and pray that somebody will steal one. Yeah. I am an answered prayer to the Gideons. Amen. September the 24th, 1982, I was supposed to be released from prison. My lawyers and all had fixed a deal with a judge that was going to release me. I got up that morning, packed my bag, got ready to go, and didn't go. The judge had been pulled off of my case that morning, and a new judge put on. He said if he had his say-so about it, I'd die in an electric chair. There's no way he's going to let me out of prison. How many of y'all know that wasn't what I wanted to hear? Now, I hope none of you have ever been in prison, but if you have, you know what I'm talking about. Prison life is a roller coaster ride. One day it's up, and the next day it's down. And when you're down, there's always a smart mouth got something to say to you. When I hung that phone up, I determined in my mind that the next person that speaks to me, I'm going to try my best to kill him. After all, what are they going to do? Lock me up? Electrocute me twice? I stormed out of the dormitory like any heathen, and I was kicking rocks and cussing God. And to my surprise, God was the next person that spoke to me, and you can't kill him. I mean, they tried once, but he wouldn't stay dead. Amen? I serve a risen God. Amen. And through the Gideon ministry, perhaps it might have been some of your dollars that bought that little testament that I picked up. I had an urge to go up to the chapel. I went up, didn't go in the sanctuary, I went in the library, and laying on the table was a little brown Gideon testament like this one I hold in my hand. I was drawn to it, didn't know anything about the Bible. Only time I went to church when Mom and Daddy made me, and I ran away when I was 12 years old, so I'd forgotten all about that. But I picked that little Gideon testament up, and I remembered John 3:16 because just a few days before I was watching a football game and some guy was standing behind a goalpost handing up a sign that said John 3:16. I went back to the dorm and wanted to bet on it because I thought it was the odds on the game. You know, bet on John, the odds of 3-16, you're going to win. But I found John 3:16 in that little testament. I picked it up and I read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. I looked that word, Pastor, up in the Greek. You know what it means? Whosoever. Amen. And when I read it, I said, God, if you're real, give me something worth living for. Instantly he inspired me to commit a crime. I stole that little Gideon testament. Out of the prison library, it became my life. Every 3 minute of time I had, I'd spend reading it because I wanted to know much about this God that was willing to die for me. I kept it hid in my cell for about 30 days. And then the meanest sergeant in the prison walked in, hollered, "Shakedown." My heart jumped up in my throat because I knew that I couldn't tell him somebody gave it to me because someone had taken a rubber stamp right on that front page right there and stamped Florida Correctional Institute. I was in trouble. And he threw my mattress against the wall. The little testament fell out on the floor. He reached down, picked it up. He looked through it, and then he said, "Say, why do you have your Bible hid?" I was faced with a major issue here because if I told them I stole it out of the library, they'd take me to lock up and probably give me another 5 years. But because the Holy Spirit of God now lived in my heart, he spoke to me and said, "You best tell him the truth." Amen? And I did. I just crazy enough to obey the Holy Spirit. I said, Sergeant, I stole that little testament out of the prison library. He looked at me kind of strange, and he handed it out. He said, say, don't you know that's what them Gideons put them in there for, so you guys can take them? I said, woo!
Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Woo!
Man. Yeah, I don't have to go to lockup. I can carry my little testament with me everywhere. Listen, folks, it became my life. And in March of 1983, God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to go all over this nation, tell people about my love and my forgiveness, and you let them know I didn't work up a sweat to save you. I got no problem saving them. Amen? I said, God, I'll go wherever you send me, but there's two things I don't want to do. I don't want to beg for money, and I don't want to beg for speaking engagements. I'll go through any door you open. He said, you go and I'll supply. I'm going into my 34th year of full-time evangelism. I promised God that I would never ask the pastor how big his church was. Because, see, I don't believe there's any big or little churches in the kingdom of God. It's just some got more sinners in them than others. I promised him I'd never ask how big a church was. And I promised him I'd never set a price to come. My motto is, there's no church too small, no love offering too large. Amen. Gideons, let me share this with you. If God had not been working through your ministry, thousands of people that's come to know the Lord Jesus Christ under our ministry would probably be in hell. I know one. Actually, I know two. Because you see, in 1993, I began to pray, God, show me what's wrong in my life. I know that you call me to be an evangelist, but things aren't happening like they should be. It didn't take long. It took 2 days. My phone rang. It was a man named Reno on the other end. He wanted to talk to me. He was in a restaurant right up the street. Satan jumped on my shoulder and said, kill him. You have every right to kill that man. Go kill him. My thoughts was, and I've been out preaching 10 years, but my thoughts was, I'm going to walk in that restaurant, pull my 9mm out, and empty 15 rounds in his face, spit on him, and walk out. I walked in. It was a little mom and pop restaurant, only about 6-7 tables in it. There he sat. I walked up to the table. He spoke first, and I'm so glad he did. Satan was screaming with deafening tones, kill him now. And I knew exactly what I had to do if my ministry was going to go anywhere. I walked around the table face to face with the man that set up the assassination of my wife. The man that robbed my children of their mother. The man that made a deal with law enforcement to send me to the electric chair and he could go on the protective witness program. Satan said, you have every right to kill him. Cost me everything I had. I like to tell people, I lost everything the world had to offer, but gained everything heaven has to give. Amen. I put my arms around that man. I looked him right in the windows of his soul, and I said, Reno, I forgive you. And through Jesus, I love you. And Reno, Jesus loves you, and if you'll ask him, he'll forgive you, and you won't have to go to hell and fry like bacon for eternity, and I'll see you in heaven one day. And I walked out of there, folks. I mean, I don't think my feet touched the ground. Since 1994, I've been booked more than sometimes they want to be, Brother Captain. Amen. But it was all because you Gideons and auxiliary cared enough to pay $1.35 for a little Gideon testament, place it in the cesspools of society so that people like me could steal it. Gideons and auxiliary, there are thousands of men and women like Bill Say used to be sitting in prisons around the world who will never hear God's word if you slow up. Don't slow up, speak up, stand up, give, and put the word of God in the places where most of us won't even go. And thank you for having me, and God bless you.
Aren't you glad you support a ministry like that? Amen. Anybody in here saved through a Gideon ministry? Saved through a Gideon ministry? I had a man come this morning, Brother Hart, who was saved through the Gideon ministry, and he said that God used him in his life. Brother Say said he was just crazy enough to obey the Holy Spirit. Are you crazy enough to obey the Holy Spirit? Let's go out. Let's let the Holy Spirit of God impact our lives. And let's take the Word of God, a track, a witness. And let's go wherever God wants us to go. And let's plant the seed of the gospel and trust God for increase. Amen? Amen. What a joy. What a delight. Let's pray, shall we?